It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
This Sunday, on the 11th of November, assisted dying will be legal in New Zealand, which is a year after the 2020 referendum. This legislation will mean that a person with a terminal illness who meets the eligibility criteria can request medication to relieve their suffering and end their life. As well as this, the 26th UN Climate Change, COP26, is now in full swing. It started on the 31st of October and will end on the 12th of November. World leaders from all over the world are meeting in Glasgow, including Green Party leader and Minister of Climate Change, James Shaw. Also, David Seymour has said that it is now time to bring the ACT Party's vax break policy to the table to try and create more incentive for people to get vaccinated. The policy is a $250 tax credit for anyone who gets vaccinated by the 1st of December. The party believes this will encourage more people to get vaccinated and get Aotearoa to the traffic light system faster. Three quite different topics today. I spoke to Brooke about these three things, beginning with the End of Life Choice Act. I began by asking Brooke how she has been involved in implementing this legislation.
Well, the End of Life Choice Act has been a culmination of decades of work from human rights campaigners all across New Zealand, and I'm really glad to see that it will be finally in force from this Sunday. So people who have a terminal condition likely to end their lives within 6 months that two doctors believe will happen, and potentially even a third doctor, will have the ability to end their lives on their terms instead of suffering on. And I think that is the right thing to do. Since the referendum, I've been involved on the periphery, mainly leaving things up to the Ministry of Health to make sure that all the checks and balances that we put into law are in place so it is a safeguarded process. And I'm happy to say that all of those checks and balances have been ticked off and they're ready to go.
Do you think that there are any concerns that you think should be addressed further, or do you think it is ready to be legal by Sunday?
From what I've seen from the Ministry of Health, they have ticked off all of the requirements that were to be done after the referendum. So in the referendum, two-thirds of New Zealanders voted that people with a terminal illness should have the right for compassion and choice at the end of their lives. And it put in place a year of time period to ensure that all of the safeguards under the law, to make sure that only those people who truly want to access assisted dying and nobody who doesn't want to access it would be able to. So all of those checks and balances have been put in place, including the group which is called SKINS, which is that independent second doctor. That list has been established. And I'm really glad to see that from this Sunday, people who want the choice will finally be able to access it after decades.
Do you expect New Zealanders to immediately use this legislation?
I expect that there will be a handful of people who will ask for assisted dying as soon as the legislation comes in, bearing in mind that there are people who have been going through a terminal illness process on any given day, who I'm sure will be wanting to avail themselves. But I expect that it will be a small number at first and grow over time, as you would see with any form of legislation when people understand that that choice is available for them.
Some healthcare workers have expressed concerns surrounding this act. How widespread has this been?
Oh, I've been speaking to people up and down New Zealand for the past few years about end-of-life choice. And the majority of nurses that I've come across have been incredibly in favour because they are at the coalface. They're seeing the pain of people who are in hospices, who are in end-of-life care. And the majority of people that I've spoken to have been in favour of providing more choice and options for those people in their last days. I do note that there is some hesitancy from some doctors and nurses, but the wonderful aspect of this bill is that it's all about choice. It's not just about choice for the patient, but it's also about choice for the doctors and their team who surround them. And so nobody needs to be part of this process who doesn't want to be.
Now let's talk about COP26, which started taking place on the 31st of October. So a couple of weeks ago, when we last spoke about this, you showed objection to James Shaw going to this conference, saying that he should be attending this virtually. Do you still think this should have been the case?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think James Shaw going off, taking up valuable MIQ spots to come home with his team, just smacks of not understanding the pain and burden that a lot of New Zealanders stuck overseas currently are facing, not being able to get through the MIQ system. But the second point I'd make is that it doesn't appear that anything that James Shaw could have said coming out of this meeting will actually achieve anything for New Zealand's emission targets reductions. I mean, the goal that James Shaw and Jacinda Ardern have now set for New Zealand's climate emissions, quite frankly, just sounds fanciful. A 50% reduction by the year of 2030, when they haven't even managed to meet their last target. I think all this has done has been a big PR spin to show that there is kindness and caring, but we don't actually have the policies in place to do it. And the ACT Party has constantly been saying, even since the Zero Carbon Act was signed, when we put up an amendment that would actually help, is that we have to have clear targets to reduce our emissions. And one thing that we would propose that the government now, I see, is now picking up 2 years later, is that we have to allow for New Zealanders to be able to offset their emissions on the global stage. Instead of only being able to reduce our emissions here in New Zealand, we should be able to, for example, help replant the Amazon, and that can only be good for our global emissions target.
Isn't it still good then to attend COP26 and have those types of discussions? Because, you know, over 100 world leaders are attending, so why should New Zealand or Aotearoa be a country that doesn't attend and doesn't get to be involved in those conversations?
Oh, look, I think there's nothing that could have been said in person that couldn't have also been said back here in New Zealand without taking up one of those MIQ spots. And I'll just paint a very bleak picture about what those spots actually mean for New Zealanders. I've been dealing with a woman who has been pregnant. Her husband is stuck overseas, and she was so worried about the situation she was in. Her midwife thought that she would lose the baby, and her husband was denied access to emergency allocations to come home. She took the government to court and has finally been granted a spot at MIQ. But there are handfuls of women in that position, not even considering the people whose family members are dying in New Zealand and they can't come and access them. And so for James Shaw to burn emissions, to go over to a climate change conference in the face of this crisis, this humanitarian crisis that we're seeing at the border, I think just does not show that he understands the reality for New Zealanders stuck abroad. But I also don't believe that anything that he said will actually achieve the desired outcomes that he wants for the emissions. He just needs to sit down and look at the ACT Party's climate change policies, which actually show how you would reduce emissions rather than PR spin.
At the conference, Māori activist India Logan Riley said that the world's climate change issues are rooted in colonialism and that the solution is to abandon modern-day forms of it. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I certainly don't see how there is any strategy there to actually reduce emissions. I think what we need to simply do is look at what could work. And that is, how are the rest of our trading partners working to reduce their emissions? Make sure that we also set targets that are in line with them, so we don't end up in forms of what we call carbon leakage, where our emissions reduction targets are so large that we simply move the problem offshore to other countries. We need to consider ourselves as global players, set clear rules, like the ACT Party strategy of being able to even replant the Amazon through the ETS. And I think that is the strategy going forward. I want to see plans from people, not rhetoric.
So do you not agree that colonialism played a role in our climate change issues today?
I think, to be honest, we need to be looking at strategies going forward. I don't think anything from that sounds positive.
And finally, moving on to our final topic, ACT has proposed the ACT's vax break policy. Why do you think a $250 tax credit should be introduced?
Oh, look, I think what's happened with the vaccination issue that we're in is that we are now waiting for people who are unvaccinated to become vaccinated. But there is nothing in the new traffic light system that would actually benefit unvaccinated people that they don't already have now. We need to provide an incentive. So the ACT Party is saying every person who gets a vaccination before the 1st of December would get $250 tax credit. That would be a Christmas present. That would be groceries for a week. There is so much that you could do with $250 because we need to make sure that as many unvaccinated people as possible have the choice and have the incentive to get vaccinated so we can move on to the traffic light system, because under our current strategy, we are seeing vaccination rates drop, and it's going to take weeks, if not months, for New Zealand to reach that 90% target.
Has there been any interest shown from other parties or the government in this proposal?
At this point, I haven't seen any pickup from the other parties, but I would encourage them to do so, because we cannot simply wait for people to turn up to get vaccinated. There are businesses going under. Auckland does not look to be getting any closer to feeling like they will move on to the traffic light system. Because if we look at the current rates, you know, the first doses are dropping off rapidly. And it doesn't look like Auckland would reach 90% until the end of November, and the whole of the North Island till the middle of January. New Zealanders will lose their summer. They will lose this feeling of actually being able to move on to the new system and get their lives back unless we get people vaccinated.
Some health experts have said that the critical issue is access to vaccinations rather than, you know, potentially financial incentives. Do you agree?
I think we are looking at it from a position where we do need to be making sure we are going into communities to provide them access, but we also need to be providing them an incentive to actually get it done. I don't think it's enough to just say, as long as there is a vaccination clinic in somebody's neighbourhood, somebody's going to go and get it. We actually need to provide an incentive and say, well, why would your life actually be better if you had a vaccine versus now? In the current situation, everybody who's now vaccinated is waiting on those who are unvaccinated. We need to provide an incentive so that we can get as many people vaccinated before Christmas, and so we can move on to the new system.
That was ACT Party's Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden talking to me about the End of Life Choice Act, COP26, and the ACT Party's Vax Break policy.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.